Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I'm excited to have a new friend today. We've had an opportunity to be on the phone together a couple of weeks. We were interviewed by a very dear mutual friend, Dan McCormick, and was just absolutely thrilled to meet Richard Burnett. Richard, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
And I just loved it because he's sales and leadership, incredible background as a corporate officer. He was responsible for over 100,000 independent representatives in seven countries. So when you're talking about playing big, he certainly has been in that role. And what I love about it also, that you were the senior advisor and CEO for vice president of sales for Jim Rohn's company. Achievement. So yeah. Jim Rohn, what an incredible icon. We all need to follow him. And I still watch his YouTube channel on a regular basis. So I'm just delighted to meet you. And I'm surprised our path has not crossed before. So thank you for agreeing to be part of this podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's an honor.
So Richard, tell me a little bit about the Richard that's not in this bio. Where you began, how you got to where you are today.
Okay, well, it's a kind of a longer story. I started in Ohio, of all places. That's where I was born. I wasn't destined to be successful at that time, but I'd lived on my own since I was 16. And my father, stepfather passed away, and I inherited a rooming house. I had 18 rooms and 5 apartments. And from the time I was 16, I ran the apartment building. And I was making more money than the principal at high school, and I didn't know what to do with it other than spend it. And consequently, I developed some very poor habits as far as money habits. And long story short, that was during Vietnam. I ended up going into the Army and came back, and there's really no jobs available. And I ended up working as a garbage man in the steel mills and, just kind of worked my way up. And then I moved to California. It was 1969. And I tell people that I was able to cram 4 years of college into 7. I was in 5 different schools, and finally they let me out. And then in 1971, I stumbled across what would be called now a network marketing company. And it was called Stay Power, which is a division of Holiday Magic. So that kind of gets us up to the adult period.
Well, that's exciting. I love it because when we talk about there's so many people in personal development today, but some of the icons, Jim Rohn and Napoleon Hill, and you and I met because you were having a conversation with Dan McCormick about outwitting the devil.
And yes.
Let me get Sharon on the phone. So talk a little bit about how you found outwitting the devil and Think and Grow Rich and the impact it's had on your life.
Well, it was interesting because that first company I was in 1971, they preached out of the Think and Grow Rich. That was their textbook. I invested $5,500 in an opportunity. And then when I was going through the interviewing process, they said, now, obviously, you're going to go to the seminar this weekend. I said, I'll be there. They said, that'll be another $250. And the book that we studied, in fact, I have my original copy, unbelievably. But if you can see this pretty well, that's my original copy right here, beaten and battered. Roughly 18 hours, I got about, probably 12 to 15 hours sleep. I mean, in 5 days, I got about 12 to 15 hours of sleep because it was a grind and they made you do certain things and you underlined those chapters. And the gentleman that heads up that company, his name was William Penn Patrick. And I think he had some connection with Napoleon Hill Foundation. I don't quite remember that details. But the first 18 months in an opportunity, I went broke. I didn't know how to sell. I had zero people skills. They're selling an automotive product, which I didn't relate to as far as cars and such. But after 18 months, I walked out into my garage and there's all this product, $5,000 worth of product. and I said, if I don't sell this stuff, I'm not going to eat. And so I went to some service stations. Back then they had the attendants at service stations. And I convinced this gentleman in it was Anaheim, California, to let me pump gas on his islands and introduce this product to people. And in 3 weeks, I sold $5,000 worth of product. And so that was really the beginning of my, genuine sales experience. Up until that time, I had no experience.
Well, and that's called being innovative and thinking outside the box on how to introduce the product to people. So, and I think that's even more important today with all the noise and the chaos. So how did you first learn about Outwitting the Devil?
Well, Outwitting the Devil was what came out, 11?
Yes. 10
or 11? Okay, 11. I was in Barnes & Noble. I just happened upon it, and it caught my eye. I picked it up. I bought it, and I went home, and I started reading it, and I didn't lay it down, actually, until I finished it. And I said, man, this is an outstanding book. And I'd been recommending Think and Grow Rich for years already by the time that happened. And I said to a friend of mine, actually, I said, this book should have been written, before Think and Grow Rich, because it's the primer. It's kind of like the red light on your dash, on your engine, telling you there's something wrong. And the more Think and Grow Rich is more like the owner's manual.
Yeah, I love it because right in the book, Napoleon Hill says that when he released Think and Grow Rich after 25 years of research and working, he was frustrated because he said even though people know what they're supposed to do, they don't do it. And that's when he sat down and he would have used the word download, but that didn't exist back then. He kind of delivered to him the thoughts behind Outwitting the Devil, and he wrote it in just a few short months. And it is amazing. And the fact that it was locked away for 73 years is interesting.
Exactly. And really, Sharon, that what really jumped out at me is the drifting aspect. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing all my life. I've been drifting from one thing to the other and really didn't have any roots. So I had great success in different places, but I really hadn't focused on that passion I have as far as public speaking. And it was later in life that I did that. But I have recommended the book Outwitting the Devil to tens of thousands of people.
Well, I appreciate that. And the Napoleon Hill Foundation appreciates that. And I think when they first approached me in 2008 to step into 3 Feet from Gold, that was when we had the downturn in the economy. Our goal was to reinvigorate the teachings of Napoleon Hill. And certainly we've had great success with 3 Feet from Gold. But I think Outwitting the Devil has really achieved that because it's really opened the minds of the younger generation. And it's been really wonderful to see the reaction we've had to it, because you just never know when you come up with something new that with that title, certainly in the book, the book has this like interrogation of the devil. And there's one section where the devil says, you're going to be prevented from publishing this book. And it took 73 years. Kind of gives you goosebumps, I think, sometimes.
Indeed. And in fact, kind of digressing for a second, about 25 years ago or so, I went to Aspen, Colorado to visit a friend in high school that was the class president and the class everything. And he'd gone on to Yale to get a degree in architecture. And I asked him, David, I said, how is it that you at such a young age were so into the success principles? And he said, well, at age 14, I had a paper out and I got up at 4:30 in the morning. I had some discipline. He says, I stumbled across this book in the Warren Public Library, and it was called Think and Grow Rich. And he was 14 at the time. So, he had a leg up on anyone that was in that senior class.
Yeah. Well, I read Think and Grow Rich for the first time, I think, when I was 19, because I had just gone to college and didn't realize the impact it would have on my life until I was in my 30s. So let's focus a little bit, because I think one of the things that that you had shared with me was that you really believe in the word consciousness. And in today's world, you talk about drifting. Well, let's talk about consciousness, because I think it really is an important concept.
Well, one of the most important words in the book itself is not just consciousness, but singleness of purpose. And until a person really gets zeroed in on what their not just their desire, but their gift is, because we're all told that your gift might make room for you. They're really kind of a ship without a rudder. And so consciousness really is the glue that holds it all together. And it's what I consider to be the one one of the most important words in the English language. And I study consciousness. In fact, I was going to share with you, I think I told you when we spoke first, I've got 26 pages, I don't know how well you can see them, of things I read over every morning at 6 o'clock. It takes an hour and a half. I've been doing it for 20 years, 25 years. And it's amazing to me when I go back over something, these things, even though I go over them all the time, something jumps out at you. You know, a word, a phrase, a paragraph, and it just kind of, the light bulb goes on as far as the importance of that particular idea at that particular time. The people that overlook consciousness are really robbing themselves of their better future.
Well, and I think, I tell people all the time, I read Think and Grow Rich every year. You know, it's always on my desk, yep. It's right here. I read it every year and I say, the book doesn't change, but I do.
Exactly.
You know, when you read it, some, whatever you need to really see at that moment is what's going to pop out for you. And that's why people that are huge fans, all of them say they read it regularly. It's not something you read one and done. And so you go back to it because there's so much wisdom packed into the book that different things will come to you when you need them. You know, when they say that when the student's ready, the teacher appears, well, wherever you are, there's something in Think and Grow Rich that is there waiting for you. So, but let's talk a little bit about when did you first read it? It was when you first picked up Think and Grow Rich.
It was October 27th of 1971. And that was really the beginning. I've read the book 100 times now. I really quit counting how many times I read it. But the challenge with most people is they're so busy with their day-to-day lives that they really don't take the time to reflect in terms of the things that are essential for their success. And part of that situation is such there are so many distractions. And the key is to keep negativity out of your life, because whatever you dwell upon, you're going to draw to yourself. And in today's world, it's much more challenging to do that with the internet and all these video games and everything as far as, you know, children growing up in a different atmosphere. It's more and more difficult to get them focused on what's going to be important for them to succeed.
Well, and I think that brings us back to the word consciousness, but also the drifting concept that's in Outwitting the Devil. Even though it was written in 1938, it's so relevant to what's happening today, because so many young people and adults go with the flow, right? As he says in the book, they don't own their own mind, right? And so he talks about 98% of the population are drifters, only 2% are non-drifters, which means they have, you know, basically a burning desire, and they focus, and then they have goals, and they know what they want to accomplish. And I see that so much in young people today, where they have no forward vision. They're really basically, they want to be popular, and certainly I think social media has made it even worse, because people are not internalizing and being conscious of what they want out of life. So what are your
thoughts? Well, that's totally true. And one of the most important phrases in the book, Think and Grow Rich, that I needed it so many times, was with every seed of failure, there's a seed of equal or greater success. And I can think of probably 30 or 40, 50 times over those course of years, or 40 years or so, that I kept coming back to that. And Jim Rohn said, one of his favorite famous quotes is that if you did not have the ability to achieve your goals, you would not have the desire. And that is so crucial, because if, you know, sometimes people get into self-doubt, and they don't have a positive environment or people that are supportive of them. And it's easy to drift out of the positive side of life and start concentrating on things you shouldn't be concentrating on.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think, this is a good point to transition, because I know you and I are both passionate about teaching young people, and that you're very passionate about teaching all ages the principles of high achievement. Is something certainly I'm focused on financial literacy and financial education, understanding how to create, making those choices, because I often say each of us are where we are today because of the choices we made before today. And if we want something different in our life, we just need to make different choices. And the sooner we can teach our children that. But exactly what you just said, I think one of the reasons that so many children don't have the self-confidence they need is they've never had to set a goal and achieve it, because they've been given anything they wanted. And they get participation trophies other than understanding to strive in life. And I tell parents, let them set a small goal, achieve it, and celebrate it with them, and you'll see their self-confidence increase. So talk a little bit about your passion as it relates to young people.
Well, I have a daughter who is dear to me that I remember when she was 4 years old, 5 years old, I started talking to her about concepts related to the things we're talking about. And I remember one day I was upstairs in the house and she was downstairs. She's 12 years old. And she said to her friend on the phone, Lindsay, she said, Lindsay, you just have to understand something. Successful people do things that unsuccessful people are unwilling to do. She was 12 years old. She went on to become a teacher, actually right there in Arizona. She's in Queen Creek. I think I may have told you that. Got a master's degree from ASU in early childhood development. And she's got two little girls, one-year-old and 1 4-year-old. And I can just see in her the molding of their minds in terms. She walks in their bedrooms in the morning with that Bill Withers song, Lovely Day. Mm-hmm. And they all sing that lovely, it's a lovely day. And it's so much, you know, so much of what happens in the child's early years that it's negative in most cases. If a parent has not been taught to think the way that you and I think and others think and are tuned into this program, how can we expect them to train their children? And there's so many fragmented families. And I remember doing a consulting situation for the Oxnard Unified School District in California. And I volunteered some time to go to talk to their at-risk kids. And I remember I went into this auditorium, and it was maybe 100 or 120 or so, and they were so rude and throwing things. And I'm thinking, man, this is the last generation. I was more depressed that day leaving that school than any time in my entire life, because I realized that, you know, we failed. As far as those children were concerned.
Well, I understand. I mean, I'm not even sure if you're aware of this, but I created a game called Thrive Time for Teens that really instills, it's got a lot of humor in it so the kids enjoy it, but it also instills the idea of every choice they make related to how they spend their time and their money drive them to success or not. And so it lets them learn these things in a safe environment, losing play money. And we've seen, we've had the opportunity to use it in the schools here with their at-risk kids for several years. And we do it through high schools throughout the country. But, it really is amazing to see the kids will say, my parents need to play this. So
absolutely.
They know they need this information. When it's presented to them, they go, this is relevant. I need this. I don't need calculus. So it's something that we, unfortunately, there are still only 17 states that have any kind of personal finance education in high school, and only 5 that require a separate course of those 17. So it's certainly, that's kind of my soapbox. I'm still driving and striving to get financial education as a graduation requirement. I think it's absolutely criminal that we're not teaching our kids about it. And in the process, also teaching them the core principles of success, because I think attitude is something that's a huge issue. People choosing to do the right thing, going the extra mile, all the tenets that are in Think and Grow Rich. So it's something that you and I share that passion, and hopefully we can get enough people to start paying attention to it. Because, I'm not ready to give up on this younger generation, but certainly with all the screen time, they are definitely not dealing in consciousness. They live their world in a state of unconsciousness when you're talking about video games and things and social media. So hopefully they'll wake up. I've been pleasantly surprised in the last couple of years with the young people that I've met that are striving and setting great examples for their generation. We just need to keep highlighting them and hoping that their influence will spread. So Richard, would you share with us what you are currently working on, your current projects, and how people can find you?
I will. RichardBurnettGroup.com is my website, RichardBurnettGroup.com. They can reach me at Richard@RichardBurnettGroup.com. And I'm currently working on obviously public speaking as far as leadership is concerned. I'm doing some seminars here in the Orlando area that are more high-end and more for like VPs of sales and such. And I've got a special project that I'll be announcing, I would think, in about 6 weeks or so. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but It's very something I'm very excited about, and has something to do with Sharon, what you've been talking about as far as the importance of people getting their house in order as far as financial things.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Well, I'll look forward to hearing more about that. And for all of you watching and listening, we're going to have Richard stay with us and do another recording here in a moment that will be part of the private Facebook group for the Play Big Movement. So if you're not joined, please do. There's no cost involved. But these are people that have all committed to play big, go to that next level. And so, Richard, thanks for hanging out with me. And if you hold on a moment, we're going to say goodnight for the rest of the folks that were on this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Richard, thank you for being with me. And all of you watching and listening, please go out and make a great day. And don't forget to play big means number one in your field, living your legacy, and creating maximum impact. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.